DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's go to our guy, Cecil. Cecil Shorts III joins us, and we appreciate you jumping in with us. Clint, earlier in the week, and a lot of people shared it, Cecil said, I don't understand how Nico Collins isn't involved in the offense. There's no Joe Mixon. There's no Christian Kirk. Maybe that has something to do with it, Bert. But were you surprised of the level of his involvement in the game plan and in the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I was surprised. Like, if anybody needs to get 10 to 12, maybe even 15 targets, especially when Joe was out, it should have been Nico. And I don't care how you do it. It could be screens. It could be a go route. It could be whatever. Feed the boy the ball. He's supposed to be top five, top 10 in the league. Feed him the ball. He's a bona fide playmaker every single game, every single time, and he's healthy. So give him the ball. So that was a little bit confusing, especially with Christian Kirk being out. You got two rookies in there. It's just a younger group overall. I'm like, give that boy the ball. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me, not understanding why. But I did like what I saw from Nick Chubb, and I did think his touches were reasonable for the first time coming out, especially after injuries the last couple seasons. I don't think he's explosive anymore, but I do think he can get the job done until Joe comes back. And if Joe is the old Joe, him and Joe can – Nick and Joe can look good together, then you got a running game to complement Nico and to complement the other receivers. But when you have what you have on Sunday, you got to feed Nico the ball. Like, I expect Nico to get 10 to 12 targets Monday night at the least. Like, he needs the ball in his hands. He is the proven playmaker and the best offensive playmaker you have right now in the squad. Give him the ball.
Cecil, I think one of the things that I can stay positive about, because I clearly am on a page of where I think there are like glaring concerns. It's 1 week, but it's glaring concerns of like, man, what are we in for here? But I do think as I look and more I watch the film, particularly on the offensive side of the football, the defense side of the football is fine. They're gonna give us a chance every week, regardless of what gets fixed on offense. But the offensive side of it is, man, I do think it's like coaching decisions, management decisions. Like, they're just a handful of decisions before the game's ever played, before the ball's ever kicked. They're a handful of decisions away from being a significantly better version of Houston Texans offense. And just that notion or that thought, I mean, are you in that category, or do you disagree?
No, I'm with you. To me, I'm on the patient side. I didn't understand not getting Nico the ball, but I'm still patient. I understand it's a new OC, it's a new system. Your number seven got a lot more responsibility at the line of scrimmage, which I think can be a really good thing for him and the offense. It's going to take a little bit of time, but at the same time, I understand, like, if you really want to be a contender, like you said, it's only a handful of things, decisions have to be made that you can really be a bona fide top-tier contender. You got to speed things up. Does that make sense? Like, I understand it's new and everything, but I'm not going to wait till week 8 for you to get things right. That's going to be too long. Like, you got to figure things out as soon as possible. And the one of the decisions, I think, honestly, I think Ursary needs to play left tackle and left tackle alone. Like, let the young boy learn left tackle. If you drafted him in the second round and you think he can be that guy, Cam Robinson can play the other side. He's a veteran. When it's a rookie in that building and he has to learn all this stuff, make it simple for him. Make it easy for him. Don't make him switch from one side to another and then coming back to the other side. No, that's two totally different sides. You're doing two totally opposite things. So I would want him to be on the left side, stay on the left side, make the veteran Cam Robinson go to the opposite side, or somebody else if he can't do it, right? But if Ursary is supposed to be that guy, let him learn left tackle. I understand the versatile part, right? But let him learn left tackle, get really good at it because he has some darn good potential. And let him just stay there and take his lumps and let's just grow from there. But continue to move him from side to side, I'm not a fan of. So I think that's one of the decisions that need to be made ASAP, in my opinion. But I'm with you. They're not far off. We got to be patient. It's just they got to make sure there's a sense of urgency on that side of the ball as well.
Well, Cecil, at least you're allowing Cam on the field. Clint's completely out. Clint's out.
Well,
Robinson even on the field.
hear me out. I'm with you, Clint. Like, I'd rather have somebody else at that right at that other spot. Because he's proven time and time again that he's incapable of doing good consistently. So if you show, and that was before you even got here. So now that you're here, you saw week one. I'm the same way. I'm out. I just mentioned his name because that's what happened on Sunday.
Well, see, for me, it's look. I don't know if he's injured and playing injured. I don't know if he was sick earlier in the week and didn't recover. I don't know if he's just not ramped up and ready because he missed so much training camp. I don't know if it's just. It seems to be like a lack of interest in really pushing through some things the way that they've been asking him to do. But either way it goes, I mean, whether it's the poor play. Or just the simple fact that, like, when I watch, like, I watch Jake Andrews' season, it is exactly what Cole Popovich and D'Amico Ryans have been preaching. You're getting it. Now he's not the best center in the world, but he's out there flat out getting it. Lakin Tomlinson flat out getting it. I believe Tytus Howard's doing the best he can at right guard. Ursary, I mean, he's a rookie. He's going to take some lumps. He's going to screw some things up, but he's out there giving it. The one guy to me that stuck out was Cam. And if that your $12 to $14 million man is going to do that, like, I think it just goes against everything they've been preaching. So I feel like that's got to be the change that's made this week.
Well, I tell you what, it was the reason they were shopping him around. Like, there was rumors that he was being shopped around after it was a reason for that. If they're serious about getting guys that are nasty in the trenches and that have this attitude and that going to go after it every single down like the other four are doing, like you mentioned, then they got to get rid of Cam. He doesn't fit the same system. Just watch the film. He doesn't fit the same thing that everybody else is doing. And to me, I just think that's what he's – I mean, he's later in the years – I get all that. He's making all this money. I get all that. But if he's not going to buy in, then he got to get out.
Cecil Shorts III joining us. And Cecil, I gotta get your thoughts on this, being that you understand this as well as anybody, and especially now I got a quarterback and Clint with me, and you a receiver. What did you think about the passing game? Because you look at it and. You know, Higgins leads the team in yards on two catches with 30-something yards. As we talked about it, you couldn't get the ball to Nico Collins. Just the passing game in general was not, you know, in sync, didn't look good. I know Kirk wasn't there, the young receivers. What did you make of what you saw and how that can get better?
It's going to take a little bit of time. But I do expect, for me, they need to take more shots down the field. You got to go more. You have to find ways to – I love the quick game. I love that part of it. I think they did decent in that part. I would even want to see it more of a moving quick game, so more slants, more outs, especially if you're condensed. They had tons of condensed formations. And when you go condensed, to me, and I'll let Clint speak on this, to me, I think some of the errors that CJ had when it comes to protection or seeing the line of scrimmage or seeing the blitzes, when it's condensed and there's so many people inside, I feel like that's harder to figure out who's coming and who's not or where the pressure is coming from, right? But if you're going to do that, use that, because when you condense your splits, it automatically, the DB backs off. So that means you can have a running quick out route, 5 yard, 10 yard out, and then you can match that with a 10 yard glance route or a 10 yard in. Like, there's things you can do I wish I would have saw more of. But I think that goes shots down the field. You got 2 6-4 guys on both sides. Like, take shots down the field. Open the thing up, especially with Nick Chubb looking decent. Now I'm Nick Chubb is not the old Nick Chubb. I think we all know that, right? But if he can have 13 carries for 60 yards, maybe he gives you a little bit more this week. Maybe it's 15 to 18 carries, around 70, 80 yards. You're building something in the running game from his standpoint, right? So now you can play action off of that. Now you can move the ball down the field on over routes and posts and different things like that. So I'm waiting to see the run game complement the pass game. So those are a few things I would say I would want to see more happen. It was like this upcoming Monday night. But I'm not extremely worried about it. I think it'll get better. But I did notice it wasn't up to par by none.
So what you're saying is we got about a three-quarter Chubb? Hey, if anybody knows about that, it's Cease. We got about 18 kids under five over there.
Hey, three quarters still get you off, baby. Still can work with you.
You ain't never lied. Hey, I get it in, baby.
Boy, y'all so damn nasty, man.
Hey, Cease, let's flip over to the positive part of this thing, man. The defense, man. That's the part to me that gives me so much hope and confidence and allows me to be somewhat patient. Is, man, you know, hell, you had the ball with a really good chance to win this game, given all the problems that we've discussed up to this point in this segment, because that defense is so legit. I mean, that has got to be a good feeling to know that you got that part of the game figured out so well on the defensive side.
They look really good. The big turnover at the end where the Rams could have punched it away or got some more points and kind of made it a two-score game. The fact that they were able to make a turnover and put the offense in position to do something, but holding them to 14 points, the way they go to the ball, the way this, I guess it's kind of cliche, but the way they're swarming to the ball, right? It's pretty cool to see. You're going to be in every single game because of the defense. Like, they're going to hold teams under a certain amount of points. They're going to get after the quarterback. I thought D'Amico kind of went uncharacteristically and put more pressure on Matthew than he did in previous years, right? A little more blitzing, a little more aggressive, which I like. Now, it did bite the Texans in the butt a little bit. And I think D'Amico talked about that in some pressers about because they were so aggressive, they got beat on some play action stuff, right? But that can be toned up, that can be fixed. It's just more eye discipline and they'll be fine. But when you have the pass rush, when you have the linebacker depth that they have, I don't think E.J. Speed is talked about enough. I don't think Henry's talked about enough. You know about Aziz. I don't think Christian's talked about enough. Like, then you add the secondary, you got a special, special squad. Now, I do think you need to figure out if you want Petrie consistently on a really good receiver in the slot. I think you need to look at that and how you want to go about that if man coverage, right?
Well, see, so I don't think you need to look at it. I think you just need to stop it. I think that's what you.
Well, it's not that simple though, right? Because if you bring Stingley inside, or if you bring Kamari inside, who are you going to put outside, right? So it just depends. It's personnel, how you going to make things work. But I don't think Petrie, maybe it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but I don't think it's him either. But you got to figure that part out. But the rest of it, man, you got a special defense. And you will always be in the game. And honestly, the offense don't got to do too much. Don't turn the ball over. Score a few touchdowns, and you got a chance to win every single game.
You do. All right, Cecil, man, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Hopefully we'll do it again this year.
Sounds good, man. Y'all take care.
All right, that's Cecil Shorts III, former Texan, and gave some good insight, especially from that receiver standpoint, the passing game. That hopefully that picks up, and I'm with him. Down the field, because the Rams never feared that. At all.
Look, I thought the point he made about just still being able to do work with three-quarter Chubb, I just think that is that needs to be put in a promo. Now, that's a great point. Coming up, I think a lot of us men can relate.
Coming up next.
Happened to the best of us.